affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Sitting on information like that also could have affected the election, so I think Comey was in an impossible spot.
Trump campaign manager Kellyanne Conway appearing on CBS this morning. She reiterated the investigation shows that Hillary Clinton is corrupt.
This woman has imperiled our national security, and for what good reason? For her petty, personal, political gain. She just is unqualified and unfit to be president. It's that simple.
Republicans are trying to make Obamacare an issue as they head into the last week of the campaign. Here's Texas Representative John Ratcliffe in the Republicans' weekly radio address.
Obamacare is more than just another pile of broken promises. It's the worst of all worlds. It's higher costs and fewer choices. It's less freedom and more government.
Chicago coming off a bloody weekend. The Sun-Times reports 16 people killed, 36 wounded in shootings across the city. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Honey, did you grab your lidocaine pain patch?
I think so.
Well, does it have 4% lidocaine?
Check.
8-hour relief?
Check.
Maximum strength adhesion?
Check.
Dry technology?
Check.
Is it water resistant?
Check.
Narcotic free?
Check.
And finally, American made?
Check.
Don't be fooled by other lidocaine patches. Grab the relief you deserve the first time with Blue Emu's Lidocare, available at CVS, Walgreens, and Amazon.
It started at bunco night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. She'll...
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon. Weather today, sunny with a high near 55, north wind around 9 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 33, light north wind. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 59, calm wind becoming south around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 46, light south wind. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 70. Calm wind becoming southwest 5 to 7 miles per hour in the afternoon. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 52.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters, the award-winning show from NAMI. I'm the host, Larry Cartwright, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And we are, NAMI is a National Alliance of Mental Illness. And there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. We work out of our houses. And what we try to do is help people who have a mental health issue either in their family or they themselves are have it. And we do it through various ways. One of the ways is this radio show. We try to help people. And the other way we do it is through classes. We have what they call a 12-week family-to-family class, and it helps families who have someone or who know someone or work with someone or live next door to someone or best friends with someone who have a mental health issue. And it goes through a lot of things, what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say in a lot of situations. It covers medications, side effects, et cetera, and crisis situations, you know, how to handle them, what to do with them, what not to do. We also have a support group, a monthly support group, where families can come and people can come, and they're among, you know, others who have gone through the same thing or are going through the same thing. And it's just another way of, you're not alone in this. You know, you don't have to do the journey by yourself. There are people around to help you. And everything we do is free. There is no charge for anything, no, for the folders or the information or whatever. So I just, you know, if you need to get a hold of us or would like to get a hold of us, our number here in Hunterdon County is 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't have an operator answering the phone 24/7, but we do have someone who checks it at least once a day, and we promise we will get back to you as soon as possible. Today we're very privileged to have with us Emily. You there? Okay. We have with us Emily Wu Truong, who is visiting us today via telephone from San Marino, California. Emily has been a guest on the show a couple times over the years, and it's always great to have you back, Emily.
I'm always happy to be here.
we're happy to have you. Would you give a brief description of your struggles leading up to your successes, and what was the turnaround point for you?
Invited me to share my story on this radio station 3 years ago, and it was probably the first place I was able to share my story, and I was just so happy. The struggles that I had gone through was just, you know, have you ever watched the movie Inside Out?
I believe I have. I can't, the name sounds familiar, yes, but I wouldn't swear to it.
So the movie is about like a little girl who has trouble trying to adjust to her new location when she used to live in another place before. And so I was born in Arkansas, and then our family moved to San Marino. And I'm still in the San Gabriel Valley now. But it was just that it was so hard adjusting because it felt like the value systems were so different. In Arkansas, even though we were one of three Asian families in our town, I did not feel different from my classmates of black and white kids. And when I moved over here, that's when I learned about racism and just, you know, interacting with other kids who were very exclusive, cliquish, and, you know, I just couldn't figure out who are my real friends. And I think because I was in so desperate for acceptance and love, I just didn't know where I fit in. And mm-hmm. it made me feel so lonely because I was always thinking about, like, what is my existential purpose in life? Whereas all the kids are just thinking about gossip mm-hmm. and celebrities. And I just didn't have a safe space to really know where, whom I could turn to talk about what was really bothering me inside. And so, fast forward 3 years ago is when I had my breakdown, which I also call my epiphany, because it was like a period of awakening where I got to a place in my life where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I realized that I myself needed help. And I finally realized for myself that I was not giving myself self-respect nor self-validation. Growing up in the Asian culture, we are taught to save face or else we'll bring shame to ourselves and the family. And so for so long, I was carrying around shame within me, never feeling proud of myself, not even knowing how to feel proud of myself because of perfectionism. With perfectionism, it's like, you know, you feel like, oh, you have to get, you know, perfect score or 100%, or else, you know.
I never fell in that category because I never got a perfect score. Never got 100% either, I don't think.
But, you know, I just never felt good enough because I never thought I did perfectly well.
Right.
And so it was very hard for myself to endorse myself, to pat myself on the back for every effort I made forward. And I think my depression was caused by my fear of not doing well. And so it would just make me feel stagnant. I felt stagnant for many years after college, graduating from college, moving back home, and just not knowing what to do with my life because I didn't feel like I had a mentor, someone to talk to. But I'm just so glad that I'm alive today to be able to continue sharing my story. And I've been doing this for over 3 years because I believe that suicide prevention is so important. And allowing the younger generations or just anyone else to know that, hey, you have not been alone. And there are other people who are struggling just like you. So.
Yeah, there is. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that we try to do here in New Jersey with our NAMI and our Hunterdon County is, you know, that you don't have to do this journey alone. You know, there's people to help you and there's people to walk the journey with you, you know, and they don't necessarily have to be family. I mean, of course, it's great if it is family, but if it's not, then there's, you know, members of NAMI that can help you, you know. And
Most definitely. I became a member, and now I'm a board member for NAMI San Gabriel Valley, my own affiliate. And once I found them and found one of my really good friends, Nancy Ang, from this affiliate. Like, she was someone who would listen to me without judgment and just was there for me when I experienced stigma and community stigma, mm-hmm. discrimination in the beginning of my advocacy work. So, yeah, like we do live in a conservative area, the San Gabriel Valley. So, but, you know, knowing that there are good people out there who understand what I'm going through, it makes the world a better place, even you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just very pleased that it was on this show that you first spoke about your problems. I didn't realize it was the first time. And so I you know, I am very proud of you for that. I would like to read a paragraph mm-hmm. from a news article that was written in the San Marino Tribune, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure.
All right. In 2013, Emily experienced several emotional breakdowns, which allowed her to become the stronger person she is today. I was crying and recollecting memories from my past, she said, without a wince of regret. I realized that I was my own worst enemy. I never realized I was engaged in so much negative self-talk. I didn't know how to validate myself. I couldn't fake it until I made it. Whatever I was feeling would show on my face. I was depressed, and I was beating myself up at the same time. I had believed that perfectionism existed, and there was no room for failure. It's that final point that resonated most strongly with Emily and eventually launched her mission and unleashed her passion. On July 29, 2013, during a legislative briefing on Asian American mental health in Rosemead, Emily stated, "I will not end my life because I have a story to share." The more we talk about mental health, the more we will alleviate the stigma. There is no shame. There is no shame. That day marked the beginning of Emily's journey of grassroots advocacy to eliminate the stigma of mental illness. I have to say, that is awesome. And I really mean that. I wouldn't just say it if I didn't mean it. I think you know me enough to know that. I don't just throw out compliments. You know? But, you know, ask my wife. She knows that I don't throw compliments out. But, you know, seriously, I think that says a lot, you know. And I think that you are someone that people can look up to, regardless of their race, color, creed, whatever, because it's no different in African American association, you know, what you were saying about Asians, you know, Asian community and living up to it and shaming your family and stuff.
Let me just say, my father was a perfectionist too, and it was always, you can't be mediocre, you've got to be the best. And I live with that same high expectations all the time. I can totally identify with what you're saying there.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi. And what it does to you.
Yeah. It doesn't allow you to be able to see your strengths. It only allows you to see your weaknesses. And that's why I think growing up, I would only look at my weaknesses. And I never knew how to look at my strengths. And until a few years ago, when friends would start complimenting me, and they'd say, "Emily, like, you're so good at cooking. Oh, Emily, you're so good at singing. You're so good at dancing." And then, like, it wouldn't go to my head, like, because, you know, we're not taught to really appreciate compliments. So when I started getting more compliments, I was like starting to realize, wait, yeah, I am good. I am good at these things. Like, yeah, it may not have been graded in school, but it's still a talent and ability. And for so long in my life, I was only looking at my disabilities, mm-hmm. my inabilities.
Right.
So the compliments from your friends started you on your journey of healing. What are some other major things that moved you forward in a positive direction?
I have one good friend, and she said, like, I was talking with her, and in conversation, I told her, "I'm so glad my husband found me worthy." And my friend's like, what are you talking about, Emily? You're already worthy.
Yeah, yes.
And I'm like, oh, like light bulb goes over my head. Oh, yeah. You know, and so I didn't realize how me singing that comment was like, it's kind of a representation of how I wasn't thinking well of myself. Like,
right.
And it led to me finally realizing I had this powerful negative self-talk in my mind that used to say, you're stupid, you're slow, you're not worthy. And I mean, I still kind of struggle with it today sometimes when I'm not feeling productive. But that negative voice, you know, said to me, I'm so sorry I lied to you all your life. I don't want to work against you anymore. I want to work for you.
Did you meet your husband prior to your breakdown?
Prior to my breakdowns, yeah. Uh-huh. We got married in March of 2012.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we've been married for over 4 years now.
I won't tell you that in January we'll be married 52, but yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well, thank you.
And I just celebrated 35. So
yeah, oh, there you go. You know, you guys are newlyweds. You know, both of you. No, well, I just think it's, you know, awesome that your husband supports you, you know, because a lot of times it's not the case, you know.
Yeah, my husband, like when I had my initial breakdowns, he was like, I wasn't expecting this. And I'm like, I wasn't expecting this either. But, you know, I know I married him because, you know, growing up in the culture that I've grown up in, you know, I felt like the Asian community that I was always around was, like, judgmental. They size you up by, like, oh, what's your title? How much do you earn? What do you do for a living? And I felt like I was, after college, having moved back home, I thought that I was only a somebody if I had a full-time job or had gone to graduate school. And I didn't really have either.
Right.
And so that caused my depression. Because every day, like, I don't fault my mom. Because every day she would say, oh, what are you doing with your life? Like, why aren't you getting a full-time job? Why aren't you going back to graduate school? But, you know, like in that article, I said I was beating myself up, but I was also depressed at the same time.
Right. And a lot of times parents don't realize it's not that the person doesn't want to do this, that, or the other, but at that particular time, they can't.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you know, people that say, oh, get out of bed, go out and get a job, blah, blah, blah. It's not like they don't want to get out of bed and go out and, you know, shower and get up and go get a job. It's But at that particular moment, they can't, you know, both mentally and physically, you know.
Right.
And, you know, so I hear that so much, you know, in with NAMI and support groups and so on and so forth and classes we teach and presentations we give, you know. But,
I when I was so hard on myself, I'd be like, well, what are you doing with your life? What are you going to amount to? Are you really going to have a future? Yeah, so that was why it was so hard to fake it until I make it, because when I was so scared in my heart and so anxious, and, you know, I didn't have confidence in myself and I didn't know how to. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it is very hard. My co-host Tracy was wanting to ask a question about industries and stuff, I thought.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know what? let's jump ahead. Now you've become a spokesperson. You have amounted to something in your life. We have a list here of all these things that you've done, which is kind of amazing. I'm just going to run through a couple of them. You were invited to speak to Congresswoman Grace Napolitano's mental health consortium out in where you live. You were speaking at the National Day of Solidarity to prevent physician and medical student suicides. You've also spoken to corporations, correct?
Mm-hmm. Raytheon,
mm-hmm. Tell us a little. Are corporations beginning to recognize the issue of mental illness more? And tell us more about your talk there.
Well, it was an amazing experience. When I got there, I was like, wow, this stage almost looked like a TED Talk stage, and mm-hmm. like with lids backlit on the curtains of the stage. I was like, wow, it just felt so surreal. It was the only opportunity I've been able to speak with at a corporation, and it was amazing that they even focused it on Asian American mental health. The other speaker they invited that day was a social worker who also works with veterans, and so he provided the statistics and the research, and while I provided my story. And so I think there was an audience of maybe 200 or more, and they recorded the video, the talks, so that Raytheon employees who weren't able to go in person could listen in on their own time and have access to that. So it was just an amazing experience to share my story. And it was like every time I share my story, it feels like I'm being validated. I'm being validated for my struggle. Mm-hmm. And that my struggle was not for nothing.
Right, and you're helping people.
Because I am one of many who struggle. Mm-hmm. I'm always looking for opportunities to speak wherever. And even next week, I'm going to go to the Beverly Hills Police Department to share my story as well on behalf of NAMI. So
that's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to jump back a minute.
Yes.
When you spoke to Congresswoman Napolitano's mental health consortium, what did you speak about? Did you tell your story, or did you speak about stigma and people with mental illness suffering through stigma, and that's why a lot of them won't take medication or won't seek help because they don't want the stigma attached to it?
I did share my story, and I talked about the Asian American cultural aspect. Mm-hmm. Why I wasn't able to get help, and because of the shame, because of the stigma. I talked about how when I disclosed my mental health issues in 2013, the World Journal Chinese Daily News newspaper shared my story, but they named the article "Victim of Perfectionist Parents Speaks Out."
Ouch.
Yeah. My parents, it had such a effect on my parents to the point where they were so embarrassed. My husband reminded me that they were so embarrassed that they thought they would have to move. But as much as the struggle was when coming out in terms of my mental health challenges growing up, it actually brought healing to my parents, my relationship with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And And then it was published right before Thanksgiving, 3 years ago. But we had a belated Thanksgiving meal with my parents, and I was crying so much, and I was very grateful for my husband. My husband was trying to communicate with them, like, she's not trying to make you look bad. She's just trying to say that she is one of many individuals in our Asian community that, you know, struggled with trying to talk to the parents, the immigrant parents.
Mm-hmm.
With our immigrant parents, just don't, they, when they were growing up in Taiwan, or, you know, they, no one had this discussion with them, you know. And so it was important to save face. It was, and so, but what brought healing to our relationship was when my parents for the first time said, "We're sorry, we're not perfect parents." And to hear that humility was so healing for me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
And even like this past May, I organized a 2 mental health awareness events where we had over 80 people there. And one of them, my parents were able to come to. And even though my mom was like, "Hey, don't mention that we're here, okay?" I decided to do the opposite. But I had to kind of tell them, "Hey, I'm so proud of my parents, because without my parents, I wouldn't be here. And even though we had our mishaps and misunderstandings growing up, I don't blame them, because of the culture they grew up in. And so I just love them still. I love them. I'm grateful for them. They showed me love the way they knew how to."
Right, right.
And it may not have translated into the type of love I wanted, because I wanted to be heard. I wanted to be listened to. I wanted to be understood from in a deeper way, where my parents didn't know how to.
Right.
They never
right.
really engaged in that kind of conversation before, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Hey, you think maybe you and your husband and your parents would like to move to Jersey? We could use you and Nami, you know. I guess that's a no.
I wish. I mean, even my parents have a hard time trying to, like, express themselves. I know that we would be even more powerful speakers if we could talk together. But, I mean, everyone is on their own journey and their own
sure.
pace. And
absolutely.
My parents are not the type to be, like, super open. But my parents say that they are proud of me. And
I'm sure they love you, too. It's, you know, it's just that, like, a lot of folks, whether they're whatever their background or, you know, culture is, they sometimes they just don't understand it in the beginning, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, they totally didn't understand.
Right, exactly. You know, and yeah. I can't tell you how many parents I've dealt with over the last 20 years doing this that you know, didn't understand it. You know,
mm-hmm.
And why couldn't their son or daughter get up and, you know, get off the couch and do this and do that and go back to school?
Mm-hmm.
And you know. Like I said before, it's not like they may not want to, but they can't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they may never go back to college, but that's something that, you know, is you have to live with, you know. I mean, they have to live their life, and it's their life, you know. And as long as they're getting help and they're, you know, then,
right.
hey, you know.
Right, right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, what I like to say to parents or people who are trying to help their loved ones who don't know how to help themselves, I like sharing the quote, "You can lead the horse to the water, but you can't make them drink."
Right, right, right.
And even when one person asked me before in a presentation, he asked me, what do you do about those individuals who are in denial? And I say, well, here's another quote. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Right, right. That's true. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to ask you, when you were in D.C., for the National Day of Solidarity to prevent physician and medical student suicides. I know that in college, the second leading cause of death in colleges across the country is suicide. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize until I read this that there's, you know, physician and medical student suicides. Mm-hmm. And are there a lot of medical student suicides that are distinguished, you know, as opposed to suicides in general?
Let's see. I think I need to pull up those statistics.
You don't have to. I'm just saying that because there has to be. Otherwise, why would they have, would they have a special day for it, you know?
Right. Yeah. One of the ladies that I connected with, so one of my friends, Danny Lee, he introduced me to Dr. Pamela Weibel. And Dr. Pamela Weibel, she's written a book called Physician Suicide Letters. She published that, and she's done two TED Talks. And so I wanted to go and meet her because she's doing even a documentary. She's participating in the documentary about physician suicides and medical student suicides. And even her book, Physician Suicide Letters, has been banned at certain hospitals, prestigious ones.
Wow.
And I think it's because the hospitals don't want to be known for as the cause of suicide. Of doctors and medical students. It's just so sad to hear that's happening when doctors should be actually the ones who should know about self-care. Because how can you truly help your patients if you can't even take care of yourself?
Yeah.
So I think that there
But, you know, a lot of the doctors and the students are under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
I think that it goes to question medical schools and how they're teaching their students and what is the culture that they're bringing up their students in. Because it sometimes sounds like a fraternity or something.
Yeah, right.
Like when the freshmen come in or something and, they tease the incoming residents or something.
And right.
It can become a place of workplace bullying to the point where students are not allowed to disclose that they can be patients at the same time. I think that doctors can truly understand their patients when they've been a patient themselves. And it kind of keeps on perpetuating the feelings of kind of like perfectionism, that doctors are supposed to be the know-all and not have any problems.
Yeah, well, there's the fact that they're still human beings, they have problems, you know. I mean,
right.
It's not like they're some robot or something, you know. They have feelings, they have, you know, the same, they're human beings, just like everybody else. I mean, because they've got a couple parts of the alphabet behind their name, that doesn't mean that, you know, they're not human beings, you know. And in fact, I know a doctor and she's a psychotherapist in Long Island, and she's written 3 or 4 books, and she has, you know, suffered, you know, she's been hospitalized, attempted suicide, you know, and I told her one time when she was on the show with me, you know, you walk the walk and you've talked the talk. Your patients, you know, should be grateful that they're talking to someone who knows what they're going through, you know, and can understand their reluctances in some circumstances and, you know, denials and other, and because she's been there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but not all doctors and all not all physicians have, you know, so you just,
right.
You know.
Emily, I wanted to ask you, on your website, you say suicide is preventable. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to ask you, you say the pain isn't always obvious. Know the signs. So mm-hmm. can you tell us what some of the signs would be, maybe for somebody who's listening, and how suicide is preventable?
Personally, I think that suicide can be caused by our self-limiting thoughts. So when I was telling you earlier that what I used to say to myself, you're stupid, you're slow, you're not worthy, the negative self-talk can be so powerful in our own mind that sometimes it's shown through our behavior, the ways that we act, and the way that we treat ourselves. And I think that when someone is sad, you know, and if anyone notices any signs, or even how they speak, the words that they use, that kind of shows that they feel worthless, that they feel like they don't matter, I think those are such important signs to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like those self-limiting thoughts can cause us to feel like we are alone. We believe that our feelings are facts and that no one will understand us. And that's why I had my suicidal thoughts before. I thought that I didn't matter. I didn't feel like I was somebody. I thought I was a nobody. And so I think that's where the suicide prevention work is learning to validate what they're feeling, or the why they're feeling what they're feeling. Because what I had done when I was growing up was I internalized.
Mm-hmm.
I internalized rejection.
Right.
I internalized criticism. I sulked about it. I didn't know how to not make it, like, kind of like, I would tell myself, like, I'm a failure.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And when we say such thoughts, it only makes us feel that it's our truth, when it actually is a lie.
Right. Exactly. And I want to throw out, too, to people that if you ask someone, are they thinking about harming themselves, it will not cause them to do so. That is a big myth. So if you know someone and you see that they're acting different or whatever than, you know, what they used to, and you feel that they might be contemplating an act of suicide, mm-hmm. don't hesitate to ask them, because a lot of times all they want to do is talk, you know.
Yeah, they want to be heard.
And they want to be heard. And,
because
you know.
Our society is so impatient, and people don't sit down to take the time to listen to you and hear you out.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I have to do one quick commercial, and so don't go away, you know, hang out there. This is the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce's Business and Home Expo and Restaurant Showcase, which will be held on Thursday, November 10th at the Hunterdon Central Regional High School Fieldhouse Commons. It is from 2 to 7 p.m. The admission is free. Hear that, folks? Free. And the restaurant showcase is from 5 p.m. till 7 p.m. Now, the restaurant showcase, for those of you who may not know, is local restaurants will be having food there. And you can go around and pick up food from various vendors and have a supper that doesn't cost anything because it's free. And you then can vote for who you like the best. And, you know, one of the restaurants will be awarded, you know, top prize that night. So it's the business. It's the 28th Business Home and Expo and Restaurant Showcase, Thursday, November 10th, 100 Central Regional High School, the Fieldhouse Commons. And it's from 2 to 7 p.m. and 5 to 7 is the Restaurant Showcase. If you'd like more information, you can call 908-782-7115. That's 908-782-7115. Emily, I would like to ask about, you're going to speak in the near future to a group of grad students in the field of social work. Mm-hmm. I think it's awesome that you're going around to going to these various places and speaking, because a lot of times they go into this line of work, like social work, and they don't have any idea of what it all entails. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's wonderful that you're going to go and speak to them. What are you going to say to them?
Well, the topic is going to be around, like, what are the inadequacies or the facing the realities of the mental health care system.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm going to be talking about how, you know, when I was initially trying to seek affordable mental health care in the beginning of my, you know, trying to help me help myself, like when I had those breakdowns 3 summers ago, I was also trying, like, I was starting my advocacy and seeking help at the same time. And so I was my own case manager while having my own breakdown over 3 days. I made over 60 phone calls. And I just, it was so depressing because, like, I have private insurance, but it's $3,000 in network, $6,000 out of network deductibles.
Yeah.
And without a job, I didn't want to pay out of pocket.
Right. Of course.
Session that will cost $100 to $400, and so I just felt like I'm not poor enough to receive services from the county, and I'm not rich enough to pay regular price. Even, and I would tell these people of these 60 phone calls that, you know, I'm not suicidal, but here's my story. These are my struggles. And they, you know, say, sorry, we can't help you. Here's another number. Here's another number. Here's another number. Here's another
yep.
number. And that made me even more depressed. So it was just like, all right, I feel like I'm being penalized for being married, because even the first sliding scale place that I called said, well, based on your husband's income, you'll have to pay $125 per session. Luckily, 3.5 months later, I was able to find a sliding scale place that said, oh, you can pay $30 a session, which was much more affordable.
Right, right.
And so even the mental health professional, when I shared this story with her, she said, you, Emily, you probably should have said you are suicidal in order to get help. So I'm like, I didn't have any education about what in California we call it the 5150, 72-hour hold. Because if you say that, if they see that you are a danger to yourself
or others,
then you know, they may put you through a psychiatric hospitalization.
Right.
And
they do the same thing in New Jersey, so.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I didn't know what would happen. I heard that, oh, if you get a 5150 on your record, it will stay there. And even, like, it'll affect your reputation somehow. You know, so that was also something I was, like, kind of fearful about. And I think when people don't understand what exactly happens, it makes, you know, them fearful of wanting to get help, because if the mental health care system is not helpful, then how are they going to really
get help? And, you know, unfortunately, it's not only in California. You know, it's pretty much all over the country.
Do you two just mind explaining what 5150 means? I'm not really clear on that.
So the 5150 hold is the number that, like, law enforcement, mental health professionals use when they're authorized to put someone on a 5150 hold. In California, this is the number.
It's California,
so it's involuntary commitment, basically.
Put on a 72-hour hold,
right? And you say it'll be on
your record. If they're feeling suicidal, especially, if they're a danger to themselves and others.
Okay,
right.
And what kind of a record were you fearful it would be? Did you feel it would somehow hurt your
health record somehow? I don't think it. Later, I was told that it doesn't go on your record in terms of, like, when you're trying to find employment and stuff. So that was what I was fearful about.
Of course.
So,
right.
Are you still I remember when we talked originally, you said you do not take medication. But you do holistic and you ran. Am I correct? Do you still do that?
I keep on telling my story, staying active in the community to keep myself going. It's always healing also every time I tell my story.
Yeah. Do you still run?
Actually, it's more like cycling and hiking.
Okay,
and,
all right. Cycling is good.
In L.A., they have this event called Cycle LA Via, where they close down streets to a certain area of L.A., and then so the cars can't get through, but the bikes can.
Right, right.
Sightseeing by biking, so... Those are fun experiences, and I dress up in my green wig and green tutu, and, you know, people will say, "Wow, nice get up," and I'm like, thanks, like, it's for mental health awareness, you know, so that's another way I try to raise awareness, by wearing the green
right.
as a fashion statement, So,
real quickly, Emily, when you say holistic, do you do acupuncture, or are there any specific disciplines that you try that help?
Well, I know that peer support has really helped me. I love support groups, because with support groups, it also helps me to know that I'm not alone. I go to Recovery International support groups, and it's basically a self-help cognitive behavioral therapy group. So our society is, like, very reactive, so, you know, we get very angry and upset quickly. Maybe if we're driving and someone cuts us off, we give that person, that stranger, so much power that we become so angry. But with Recovery International, they teach us things like people do things that annoy us, not necessarily to annoy us.
Right.
And they also teach peace over power. You know, we ask ourselves, is this worth getting upset about than to lose our peace? Or we choose to, you know, remember that our mental health is, you know, a business, not a game. You know, we one thing that they've taught me is endorse yourself for the effort and not just for the performance.
Right.
And that really helps me because of my perfectionism.
Right.
You know, because it helps us to pat ourselves on the shoulder and be proud of every step that you've ever made in your life.
That's true.
Because
that's true.
It shows that you were trying.
And I'll tell you, you've come a long way. I have to tell you that. And we're just about out of time. But I do want to remind you that remember what I told you the first time was you have to take care of yourself first.
Yep.
And then you can take care of others and help others. So I just want to reinforce that with you, Emily, that you take care of yourself first, you know. Take a day sometimes and go with your husband and go out to dinner and go to a movie or something, you know. But, you know, take care of yourself and keep riding a bike and hiking because that helps too. All right?
Most definitely.
And we will definitely, I'll be in touch and we will definitely, do you have a website that you want to give out?
I can definitely be contacted over Facebook, facebook.com/MLEWU.
Okay.
And I'm very active there. So.
Okay.
It's full of positive affirmations.
So. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I will be in touch again. You know that. You know? Mm-hmm. And Emily, I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Emily. It was
thank you.
Really helpful.
Thank you both. Have a wonderful Halloween.
And you too, you know. Take care of all the little trick-or-treaters. And you little trick-or-treaters out there, be careful, you know. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. Emily, we'll be in touch.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big Z of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton, Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I see Hillary Clinton engendering boos for FBI Director Comey yesterday, one of her rallies, and I'm reminded maybe we've been asking the wrong candidate all along. Are you inciting anger and violence at your rallies?
Trump campaign head Kellyanne Conway speaking to CBS this morning about Hillary Clinton inciting anger against those who disagree with her on the campaign trail. Trump, meanwhile, on the campaign trail telling his supporters it's time to make a break from failed policies of the past.
We will break decades of failure and prove that real change is possible if we simply cut our ties with the failed politicians and politics of the past.
The head of the DNC has been found to have lied to the American people. A WikiLeaks release today showed that she gave questions to the Hillary Clinton campaign ahead of Democratic presidential debates. More news online at usaradio.com. I'm Jason Wirt.
Have you ever noticed your hair breaking off in a shower? Or has your hair become flat and lifeless? Revive your hair with Cell Therapy by Ovation.